morning. Not their fault, my fault. Good to see you guys today. And man, 27 of our students and several other workers went to a fall retreat this weekend. And I just want to say, man, the future looks bright for Southgate. Amen? Amen? And that was kind of a weak clap, but I'll take it. And so, but man, I'm so thankful for our students and how God worked in their life this weekend. And then also, I just want to mention in your bulletin today, you're going to notice that we are rapidly paying down our note, and we are down to $219,000 on our mortgage. Amen? And I don't know if our church really understands this or not, but when I got here almost a year ago, we were almost $1 million in debt, and we've paid down close to $800,000 in the last 10 months. Amen? And when I get to share that story about Southgate's generosity, I asked you guys to help, pay down this note earlier this year. And then October this year, we asked you to give towards missions. And just when I talk about what God is doing here with other pastors and ministry friends, they're just blown away by all of God's blessings and all of the things that God is doing in our midst. And I just want to say thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ for all that he's doing. And to him be all the glory and the honor. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so, yeah, let's clap for that. That's good. And so, now in 1 Peter chapter 2, and in my message review this week, the staff told me, they said, Pastor Jason, you probably ought to start reading the scriptures a little bit slower. You talk too fast, and you're too loud. So the staff told me this week, and they said, well, let's practice reading the scriptures. And so I said, for to this you have been called. And I asked them if that was slow enough. And of course, I got a bunch of snarky responses after that. And so if you'd pray for me as I work with the staff and help them to be more godly. Amen. So 1 Peter chapter 2, Annie, and we're going to read this slow. Verse 21. The Bible says, isn't it good to have fun as a family? Amen. This is what church is about. Verse number 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return, and when he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. For you are straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. And Father in heaven, we come to you this morning the only way that we know how. And that's in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come this morning boldly asking you to, as Grace and our worship team sang this morning, that the Holy Spirit of God would speak to our hearts, and that we would listen, and that we would tune out every distraction, and that we would dial it in and focus our minds and focus our hearts on the Word of God this morning. And I pray that this Word would shape us and that it would form us and that it would be something that we would anchor our lives to and that we would govern all of our life by the truth found in your Word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I find fascinating about the Word of God is that the heroes of the Bible were deeply flawed men. They were men who struggled with their faith. They were men who doubted God. They were men who sinned. And they are men whom the Lord never gave up on. They were men and women who God continued to do a work in their life. And Peter was one of those men. And we're going to, for the next 2 weeks, talk about how Peter dealt with in his heart and how we should, in our lives, deal with what happens to us when we've been mistreated, when we've been slighted, when we've been treated unjustly. And I would imagine that every single one of us in this room today have had someone in our life or a situation that we've encountered where we've been mistreated. And one of the things that I find absolutely fascinating about the Word of God is how precisely it speaks to the everyday challenges and the everyday difficulties that you and I face. The Bible says that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So everything that you and I need to live righteously and to live godly and to live the way that God has called us to live, the Word of God is sufficient in giving us the answers that we need to be the people that God has called us to be. It gives us the answers to know what it is and how we are to live life to the fullest and live in the purpose of God and live in the plan of God and live in His power. Now, one of the common difficulties that every human faces is the difficulty of unfair mistreatment by others. I don't know. Few things are as challenging as navigating the hurt caused when it seems unwarranted. Amen? It's hard to deal with that. And it happens. And it's certainly frustrating. And yet, depending on how we look at mistreatment and how we look at when we've been slighted and when we've been treated unfairly or maybe even unjustly, it provides the opportunity to strengthen our faith. It provides us the opportunity to learn what it really means to endure and stand firm in the faith, in trusting and committing our lives to Jesus Christ. I want to be very clear this morning as we talk about the topic of revenge and we talk about the subject of being mistreated and being treated unjustly. I want to be very clear over the next 2 weeks that there is a difference between holding resentment and then wanting revenge and then also forgiving. What does all of this mean? Because there's a difference between all of that and forgiving someone and saying, you know what, you abused me, you mistreated me, you gaslighted me, and now I'm going to go on vacation with you, right? Sometimes it's necessary to set up boundaries in your life so that you do not continue to put yourself in danger. And I want to be very clear on that. But I also want you to understand that when those things do happen, there is a path forward for you to grow in your faith and live the full life that God has called you to live. There's a way to stand firm when it seems like someone does not have your best interests in mind. But you know what I also found kind of ironic in our life is that many of the things that we feel like we've been mistreated in are very minor things. And it's those things that we hold resentment towards other people, and it's those things that we allow unforgiveness to set into our hearts and into our lives, and they begin to define us, and they begin to shape how we relate to other people and the person in particular that has treated us so poorly. And so Peter challenges us to consider how we think about it and how we feel about mistreatment and what we must do when it happens. And it can develop our faith, but only if we trust in and we govern our life by, are you with me? If we govern our life by the Word of God, not by our feelings, not by Dr. Phil, or not by Oprah or Dr. Oz or any pop psychology. No. When we govern our life by the Word of God, there's hope to move forward. Now, it can develop our faith, but for many, mistreatment is often a setback, and that's certainly very hard to come back from, and it prevents us from having other healthy relationships. And I can't tell you how many adults that I know who struggle in their adult relationships because they've been mistreated, and they've not learned to handle those slights and those mistreatments in a way that is biblical and in a way that God would have them to deal with it. And so many of the relationships they have with their spouse and with their kids and with friends and family and coworkers are very, very jaded and very messed up simply because they've never looked to the Word of God to move forward and stand firm in the faith that God has called us to stand firm in. And so this morning, the big idea is this, is that the path to a renewed heart or a renewed life is not revenge. And so often when we've been hurt and we've been mistreated, resentment sets in. And all we want is payback. All we want is, and this happens in very simple ways, even like in our marriages, when a spouse says something off the cuff and they pop off, and so you're like, well, they popped off, I'm going to pop off. I mean, and I could give you hundreds of illustrations of how this plays out with my own kids and how they talk to each other, and I just sometimes sit back and I just watch it escalate, right? And there's been a couple of times I've just said, hey, I'm going to build, you know, a cage in the backyard and we're going to do MMA and I'm just going to see who wins out and the one who wins gets the inheritance. And so they're always trying to get back at each other. And listen, getting back and seeking revenge is not the way of Jesus. Now, I can struggle with hurt from others. I do. I found that I've held resentment towards others, and I realize that it's only hurt my faith, and it's only hurt my family. It's only hurt my relationships. In fact, revenge and bitterness ruins every good thing in your life, including your faith. And I see so many people who are genuinely struggling in life because they have unhealed hurts, unhealed resentment, and they haven't dealt biblically with mistreatment in their life. I imagine many of you have struggled with hurt. It's likely many of you have had friends or family or others who've really hurt you, maybe betrayed you, and instead of allowing that resentment to ruin your faith and other relationships, we can learn from the Word of God how to stand firm and experience a renewed heart, a renewed life. In fact, the Bible teaches us this morning how our lives and hearts and hurts can be renewed, not in revenge, but in pursuing the life of Jesus Christ. We find hope, and we find a way forward, and we find forgiveness. We find renewal in the life of Jesus Christ. So the next time you find yourself struggling, you can ask yourself the question, am I seeking revenge, or am I seeking to reflect the life of Jesus Christ? Am I seeking revenge, or am I seeking to reflect the life of Jesus Christ? Because see, that begins in verse 21 when we consider the pattern of Jesus. We consider Christ's pattern. Verse 21, it says, for to this you've been called because Christ also suffered for you. Look at here. Leaving you an example. Now, it's not uncommon for us to hear. How many of you heard the phrase, and you just got to be like Jesus? Say amen. Come on, amen. How about this one? The bracelets, what would Jesus do? How many parents have used that on your kids? What would Jesus do? And sometimes I just want to be like, I think Jesus would throat punch somebody for the glory of God. Sometimes I just think he would, but he doesn't. But who really wants to hear that when you've been hurt and when you've been mistreated? See, Peter is arguing here that you are in fact following Jesus when you follow the pattern left by Jesus when he suffered unjustly at the hands of others. I mean, Jesus could have very well done something about this mistreatment, but instead he left an example for us to consider. And I'll be the first to admit that it stretches our faith. It certainly should stretch our trust in God, should deepen our love for him. Now, the word example in this text, it literally means a pattern. It gets its meaning from the idea of riding under. It'd be like the modern-day carbon copy. It means an imprint. And so Peter saw this example firsthand. Peter saw this in the life of Jesus Christ. He saw it in the garden. And he was at the betrayal of Jesus, and he was speaking from experience. I mean, Peter lopped off the ear of Malchus, and he did that for Jesus. Jesus quickly grabbed that ear. I just can't imagine that. Dude's ear just on the ground. Sometimes we just read through the Bible, you know? Peter lops a dude's ear off. Jesus picks it up and just puts it back on his head, you know? Like, when I get to heaven, I want to rewind some stuff, you know? I want to see that. Like, I want to see, like, what it was like to walk through the Red Sea. I want to know if, like, fish were trying to get out of the waves there, you know? Like, they were just trying to get out to see what was going on. Jesus picks his ear up, and he puts it back on the side of his head. And so the key is when we seek to follow the example left by Christ, we resist responding sinfully. Because in our text, it goes on to say, he committed no sin in verse 22, and neither was deceit found in his mouth. And the Bible says when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. Now, the word reviled means to pile up abusive and vile language against someone else. And how many times have we gotten angry at someone and we've lost it? And our words have, in a sense, betrayed us. And we use our words in a way that hurt others. Jesus didn't do that. Usually our first response to a situation that involves mistreatment of any kind is not the best. And how often have you responded to a perceived mistreatment only to find that you've completely misjudged the situation? Either way, Peter says Jesus didn't respond in kind to the treatment he received unjustly at the hands of sinners. He just kept pursuing the will of God. And so often when we're pursuing our will and our agenda, we miss out on what God has for us in those moments. So we resist responding sinfully, but when we follow the pattern of Christ, we also learn to realign our response. The challenge is not to seek vengeance on our own. We're out of bounds when we take matters into our own hands. God has your back. Listen to this. God has your back, and God is at work. And sometimes the best thing for you might be some mistreatment, and anything in life that happens to us happens at the hands of a loving, sovereign God. So God is at work. So we need to realign our response. And we do that with our words. We have to know the power of words. We have to know, please write this down today. We have to know the power of words. How words are so destructive. Nothing will tear a family apart like words. Nothing will ruin a church and divide a church like gossip and slander and embellishing what is not even true. We have to understand that our words can inflict incredible damage. Our words not only hurt others, but they hurt the witness of Jesus Christ. Solomon so wisely said in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Are your words used to bring destruction? Or are your words used to bring life? Are your words used to speak faith? Or are your words used to tear down? Nothing hurts a relationship in a church, a family, work, like gossip and slanderous words. But we also do it not just in our words, but we do it in our ways. So often we seek revenge without even knowing. We just have thoughts that pop into our heads that are less than a godly response to a past hurt or a past mistreatment by another person. For some, it might be, if you're the boss, it might be cutting someone's hours because they were late and jammed you up or letting loose. And this is my favorite. Some of you should just be in like social media prison for at least a year. Keyboard warriors. God help us. How many Christians this past year have lost their testimony because of things that they've said online? I've known parents, and this is no joke, I've known parents who have been hurt by their adult children. And they were tempted to make them pay through an email or a passive-aggressive or a hurtful dig. Knowing and seeing Christ suffer unjustly at the hands of others so that we could be saved and forgiven of our sins provides a pattern for us to pursue. Jesus pursued the redemption and the restoration of others, and so should we. So we see this in Christ's pattern, but also revenge is never the path to reconciliation or healing. Instead, what we can do is we can commit to God's providence. Verse 23 says, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return, and when he suffered, he did not threaten. But listen to this. But he continued. He continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Now that word, that little phrasing in there, where it says, he continued entrusting. It means to commit. It means to hand over to someone to keep. The idea here is that I'm handing over authority. And what Jesus did, he lived in submission to the will of the Father. He lived in submission to the will of God. So what Jesus did was he handed over the authority that he had over his life, and he said, into my hands, I commit my spirit, I give my life to God, I will live for his purpose. Come hell or high water, come pain and suffering, I will do what is right. And I will do that because I can trust in the sovereignty and in the providence of God. And so Jesus Christ continued entrusting his life to God the Father. Listen to this. Jesus was handed over to Pilate. Pilate handed him to the Jews. Christ handed himself over to God because of the perfect confidence in the sovereignty of God. And this morning, I want to encourage you that God is in control and he is working it out for your good. And if Jesus Christ can suffer unjustly at the hands of sinners who was righteous, why wouldn't you and I suffer as well? A lack of confidence in the providence of God will cause you to take matters in your own hands. This is a temptation for all of us, and we may be on the receiving end of some unfair mistreatment, and we want to take it into our hands. And part of the struggle, humanly speaking, is that we often lack the faith that God is in control of every single event in our life. Everything that you experience, God is in control. And Romans teaches us, and we know with certainty that God causes all things to work together for good to them who love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. And there's nothing that happens that God isn't only aware of, but that He isn't also in control of. And listen, my friends, no matter what you're facing tomorrow morning, and no matter what you got to go through this week, and no matter how painful it is to go home with your spouse today or with your parents today or with a coworker or a neighbor or anyone else for that matter, the truth that God is in control of our lives should settle our hearts. It should bring us immense comfort. Knowing this truth can fundamentally change how you respond to perceived injustices and mistreatment in your life. Since God isn't always concerned about our comfort, He's about forming our character, and He's going to allow hurt, He's going to allow hardship, He's going to allow difficulty to occur so that you have the opportunity to put your faith in Him, to put your trust in Him, to continually entrust your life to Him. The goal is found in the text. The entire point of this book is faithful endurance. Listen, man, the Bible says Corinthians says it this way: it is only required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness. Proverbs says it this way. Proverbs says that a faithful man, who can find? Every man proclaims his own goodness. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Every man proclaims his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? The reality is that so many of us, we go around with our chest puffed out, thinking, man, we're the stuff. Like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. I'm a self-made man. Nobody in this room today is self-made. Someone helped you. Most importantly, God did. And at the end of the day, most of us claim about, we list off our resume every time we're with someone because we're really insecure about ourselves, but the only thing that really matters is, are you faithful? And when we get to heaven, the only thing that God's going to say to you is, good and faithful servant. And some of us, and I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Napoleon Dynamite, you're like Uncle Rico. Uncle Rico, man, he could take the ball and he would brag about how awesome he was. And he was kind of a nerdy guy, and he says, I'm going to take this ball, I'm going to throw it over that mountain. You know, it's like he's living his high school days. And that's where some of you are living, and your high school days are better now than they were then. You track it with me? Right? The goal is in the text, it's faithful endurance. Character is formed in the fire of suffering, hardship, difficulty, standing firm is the goal. And then it says he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Peter is suggesting this isn't a one-time thing. It's not a one-time event, but it's sometimes we have to do it over and over again. This is how endurance is gained. We continue entrusting our life, our plans and hurts and disappointments over to God. And so we bring every hurt to Jesus and we follow the example that He left for us. Now listen, we're not talking perfection. Now I imagine there's some people in this room today that my heart goes out to that you're dealing with years of mistreatment, years of unjust actions that have come your way from a parent, from a spouse, from an abuser. Maybe from a sibling. I don't know. But I do know this. We're not talking perfection. We're talking progress. And sometimes, man, you want to lash out. Sometimes you want to hurt somebody in turn the way that they hurt you. Sometimes you want that. But I want to challenge you this morning to consider Jesus, who paid for our sins with His body on the cross so that we might live righteously, so that we might stand firm, so that we might actually... When we talk about separation and we talk about not living like the world, what we really mean is living like this. It means that we don't respond to hurt the same way that the world responds to hurt. We don't go seeking revenge. We seek reconciliation and we seek redemption. We seek to make things right. It's the call of God on the life of a follower of Jesus, because that is our witness. when we are hurt and we live righteously in that moment, it stands out in contrast to the world in which we live. This never works, you know, when you seek revenge. Revenge doesn't bring the satisfaction that you think it's going to bring. Revenge isn't, you know, some will say, man, revenge is sweet. I think about the Count of Monte Cristo. Then we got the modern day show called Revenge. Revenge isn't the solution. Forgiveness is. And I want to challenge you to just continue to consider Jesus, his wounds, his suffering, his cross provides the healing from the hurts that others have put on our life. And I want to encourage you this morning that if you don't know Jesus, your hurt can be healed and you can be set free to forgive those who hurt you. All of God's people said, amen? If you don't know Jesus this morning, he can set you free because he knows what it means to be hurt. He knows what it means to be offended. He knows what it is to be betrayed by a friend with a kiss. See, Jesus knows exactly what it's like, and he invites you. Jesus is inviting you today. Whether you know him or not, whether you have a relationship with him or not, he's inviting you today to run to him. And he invites you this morning, and we see this in verse 25. He says, "For you are straying like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." He invites you to comfort yourself in God's protection. He says, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. There's no doubt this morning that hurt is real. There's no doubt this morning that hurt is painful. And when you're hurting, it doesn't matter who you tell. No one really understands. You know what I'm talking about? You lose a spouse. You lose a child. You go through a miscarriage. And you try to explain the hurt that you're feeling and no one gets it, even if they've gone through it before. And while we understand that there's no temptation, no trial that's common to man, we're all made differently. We all respond to life differently. And when we've been mistreated, and I've got a friend, and every time I call him, I say, man, you're not going to believe this. This happened to me, and this person said this to me, and then, you know, they did this to me. And then he just starts quoting scripture to me and preaching at me. And I call him on the phone. I said, I didn't call you for a sermon. I called you because I wanted you to get your brass knuckles out, and we're going to deal with this. You know, like I want somebody to side up with me, right? Amen? I got a godly friend that won't do that. It's probably why I'm still in ministry. But even when I try to tell folks, they don't get it. And even if you've been through some stuff, it might feel like you're all alone. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I've been living with these last 20 years with my spouse. Kids might be here today. Man, you don't know how mean my mom and dad are. You don't know how they're like this. My teacher at school, you don't know. You don't understand my situation. You don't know. I feel all alone. And friend, I want to encourage you this morning. There's one who does understand. There is one who has been through what you've been through, and his name is Jesus. And he stands here today as the lover of your soul who laid down his life for your salvation. And he says, let me protect you. He says, let me restore you. Let me heal you. Let me make things new in your life. You don't have to be lonely. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to hide. Jesus didn't just leave us an example. He isn't just in control. Listen, I want to tell you this morning, he's a friend. Jesus is a friend. Amen? Jesus is a refuge. He's a shield. He's a buckler. He's a strong tower. And he is a rock in which we can hide. God invites us into a relationship that's stronger than anything you can imagine. It's bigger and better than anything in this universe. And it's so far sweeter and so much better than revenge. For everyone that comes to him, he not only protects you, he guides. That's what it says in the text. He's a shepherd. He's an overseer. He's protecting. He's guiding. I don't know about you, but hurt, doesn't it feel disillusioning sometimes? You know, why would this person treat me this way? Why would they talk to me this way? Why would they stomp over me to get to where they want to be in life? Why would my teacher do this? Why would my dad do this? Why would my mom say this to me? And then it rocks us to the core. Why would we have to go through this? Man, hurt is disillusioning. Mistreatment and being treated unjustly is so disillusioning. And you might be thinking, man, what do I do? What do I do with this? What do I do about this? Where do I go from here? Man, I'm going to tell you this morning, when you follow Jesus, He'll take you by the hand and He's going to show you the way. He will, as a loving shepherd, show you the path that He has planned for you. He will give you the strength that you need to respond redemptively and righteously. He'll do that. And instead of allowing your hurt and your disappointment to paralyze you, as so many often do, Jesus wants you, He wants to use it to draw you to Himself so that He can guide you in your moment of need. Listen, I want to tell you this morning, life is filled with pain. Life is filled with hurt. But anything that causes you to reach out for God is His mercy. I sit here this morning and I stand as a testimony to the grace of God. I remember as a young man thinking in my home, man, I just wish I had a dad that would talk to me. I wish I had a dad that would just throw the ball with me. I wish I had a dad that wouldn't yell at my mom at 2 and 3 in the morning. I know as a teenager just thinking, man, I don't understand all of this. But I want you to know God can show you a way forward. God can take you by the hand and He can make everything that is wrong and He can make it right. So instead of allowing your hurt and your disappointment to paralyze you, He wants you to draw closer to Him. And friends, I don't know of any greater hope than that. Because when Jesus shows up in your life, and when Jesus gets real in your life, and God gets real in your life, everything changes. What grace He shows to people who are so broken and so needy. See, we live in a world that wants to punish those who hurt us, betray us, and mistreat us. And Jesus just says, no, I'm going to flip that around. I'm going to flip this context on its head with this text, because the way our battles are won are not with reciprocated mistreatment. But listen, you know how our battles are won? Patient endurance. Standing firm. Standing firm. Standing firm. That's how our battles are won. Instead of revenge, we run to our Heavenly Father who will protect us and He will make it all right. And so we commit and we trust our life to Him. Can I have you bow your heads with me this morning? Heads bowed, eyes are closed. And how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, I've never understood what it meant to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know Him as a rock, a refuge. I don't know Him as a friend and as a redeemer. I don't know that I'm forgiven of my sins. I don't know that I'm right with God, and I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven, but I would like to know, and I'd like for you to pray for me this morning. Is there anyone that's like that that's here this morning that would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to know this Jesus. Is there anyone that's like that that would be bold enough to raise your hand just so that I could pray with you today? Amen. Now, how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, there have been some seasons in my life, and I'm in one right now where I've been mistreated, and I don't know what to do with this hurt. I want revenge. And I don't like how I feel about this, and I want to move on, and I feel like I'm paralyzed, and I feel like I'm not responding in the righteous way in which Jesus would have me to respond. Would you lift your hand and let me just pray with you this morning? Amen, 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 amen. Anyone else? Man, I've been mistreated. I've not handled it well, but I want to do better. I want to follow the pattern set by Christ. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Amen. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Anyone else? This is a hard message for us to hear. Because we gotta sit in those emotions. We gotta sit in that moment. We gotta remember what was done to us, and we've got to reach out for Jesus. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed as I pray for you this morning? Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you for the sweetness of His love, the unending mercy and grace that He extends to us. And as a pastor, Lord, this passage is so incredibly difficult to teach and preach, and it's even more difficult to live. And I pray for every single person this morning that lifted their hand and said, man, I struggle with this. I'm struggling with past hurt. I'm struggling with past pain. I don't know what to do with it. I just pray, Lord, that they would find their hope in Jesus Christ and in the example that you left for us. And that while we may not always understand why things happen to us in this life that hurts so much, we might find it as an opportunity and a moment for us to deepen our faith in a sovereign God. God who loves us, a God who is a rock, who is a refuge, a redeemer, and a friend. God, I cry out to you this morning. I just pray that you would heal hurt, that you would heal pain, that you would heal suffering, Help us to find purpose in it. Help us to use it as a platform to be a megaphone to the mercy of God and the grace of Jesus Christ. We love you this morning, Jesus, and we ask it in your holy name. Amen. Friends, I recognize that this is a pretty heavy message, and we're going to spend the next 2 weeks on this. Some of you in this room today, you are hurting. You might be in your midlife. You might be older than that. You might be thinking of a time when a parent mistreated you or you've been abused or something that was going on. It might just be that you and your wife can't get along right now. I don't know. Maybe you've just been going at it with each other on and on, and it just seems like this cycle of arguing and frustration. Man, there's a way forward. I want you to, this morning, if you would, on the first note, bring that to Jesus. And instead of retaliating, instead of seeking revenge, man, walk down the road of redemption while Jesus holds your hand and is a refuge and a friend to you. Would you come on that first note this morning?